The following email was sent by Matt Straub 8 years ago this week. I am not awake today. Slept about 7.5 hours, but it was not enough.
So this is strictly a dialogue between my current self and my former self. I want to slap that guy. I want to slap the guy.
You're not saying it's an email you sent to yourself.
No, that was to my then girlfriend, now wife. But okay. I just want to slap myself back then because what a joy, 7.5 hours sleep. I don't want to sound like a cliched parent, but like that guy's annoying.
But you knew it should be enough and wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. I appreciate that, but I'm still mad at him.
Were you sick or something? Why was 7.5 hours not enough?
Because I was a spoiled baby. I was a spoiled baby.
You've been really hard on yourself in these cold opens the last couple episodes.
Well, it's just the ones I found. They had a certain theme to them. I was a soft baby back then.
I guess
I'm
so.
Slightly less soft baby now. The following email exchange was sent to Nicole Dressbell 7 years ago this month. Hey, do any of you plan on heading to ATL for Straub's wedding? The reply from Nicole. Oh, right. I didn't email him my address. And we continue. I don't think I can go. Next reply. I think so. Could be a good old time. Next reply. Did you get an invite already? I plan on going. If enough of us go, obviously Straub would be out. Let's look into doing a show while down there. A link to an improv site.
Yep. So nice. So in my searching, I found the email exchange where we all flaked on your wedding collectively because I don't think any of us ended up going. Is that true?
But yours by far is the worst. The worst.
Really? It's better than the one. It's worse than the one that just says, I don't think I can go.
Well, because that's just straight up honest. Like, don't think I can make it. Could be a good old time. Love you, Zach. You know, yours is just, oh, right. Didn't email my address. Have no intention to. Like, that's what I get out of that.
But I think I did at some point.
No,
I definitely got an invite that I didn't respond to.
Yeah, and you didn't come.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
We were all young and poor, and it was out of state.
Yeah.
I'd go now.
It was a great time, though. You missed it.
I believe it. I would go now.
Okay, well, thanks. I'm not doing it again.
Okay, well, but if you do.
All right. You've got mail. Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy treasure. I am Matt Straub.
And I am Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week is the host of Risk and a member of the state, Mr. Kevin Allison.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi.
Kevin, thanks for sitting patiently through that. How are you feeling about giving us access to your inbox?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this has had me thinking so much because my show Risk is all about people daring to share stuff that they never thought that they'd dare to share on a podcast. I have had to be the ringleader of that for 9 years now. And so people think that I am an open book, that I have no secrets. The truth is, I mean, for 9 years, I've really been I deal with this in therapy all the time. of my therapist is constantly saying to me, don't worry about it. You can always tell that story maybe 10 or 15 years from now. You know, because we all have secrets even from ourselves,
oh,
you know?
Sure.
So I was worried about this because I'm a very kinky guy. And, you know, if you actually go into my texts, there's just random kinkiness that explodes here and there. And, of course, you know, there's my relationship with my producer, JC Cassis. The two of us are best friends. And she's always joking around about, you know, like sexual harassment and stuff like that. She's like, my God, if people could see the way we talk to each other, because all it is like as inappropriate as it could. But it's just that we understand that between the two of us because, you know, we have a mutual sense of humor. So, I'm like, oh, my gosh. So much crazy. It's my inbox is basically a Pandora's box.
Oh, I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I am so technically unsavvy that the editor of Risk, the audio editor, he lives in Colorado and he's kind of our tech guy. So he will often have access. I'll give him access, like shared screen wise, to my computer so he can clean it out. So he is just so used to, he's a straight guy. He is very used to at this point seeing pictures of every hole in my body and me, you know, tied up this way and that and hanging from the ceiling. He's just like, no, I know you very well now, Kevin.
It's also so funny because I think that's most people's concern when they come on the show is like, oh, you're going to find all my sex stuff. And it's like, we never have. We've stumbled very PG, I think, on this show. Because I guess most people don't have that much stuff in their email.
Or like they just have it hidden, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe we've got promises made.
Well, here, listen, this week. Just this morning, this is the first thing I woke up to. Just this guy I met on, there's a site called Recon, which is a kinky app for gay men. This guy I met yesterday on Recon, he was just like, hey, I'm interested in you. We exchanged each just one picture. And I was like, yeah, yeah, it would be easier to talk on my phone. So I gave him my phone number and then forgot about it, went to sleep last night. And I woke up and this is it's a whole fantasy. He writes, would you use your wrist cuffs? He's assuming a lot about what I own, but I do own wrist cuffs. To completely immobilize my wrists, like bind them to the side of a rim chair. He's assuming I have a rim chair. And I do, in fact. And chain them down, having my arms spread out helpless on the floor, not to be able to move them, and do the same with ankle cuffs. Want my legs completely spread. It's like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it. You want to be restrained.
Over-explaining.
It's really, really over-explaining.
And he just goes on. And I'm like, good morning.
That's great. Thursday morning.
Who are you again?
Wow.
So not out of the ordinary. Also, that's awesome.
But also that poor guy sent it and hours went by before he got a response.
He didn't realize that I had turned on... what do you call it?
Disturb?
Do not disturb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be nice if he could just get a notification that's on and he could just relax. He's like, oh no, true. I went too far.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And over multiple text messages, it looked like.
Not one long one. It was a whole. And some people get off just on that, of writing their fantasies to you, which is awesome. Like, the thing is that, and kinksters have to be that way with one another because some people's fetishes are just so, like, the hardest people I've found to deal with are foot fetishes because there's something about that fetish that makes people incredibly anal. I had a guy once who was like, okay, all right, you own a pair of Rockports. What year is the make?
No.
And what is the width? I'm like, I don't know the goddamn width or the year. And then he's like, I want you to make sure you're wearing business socks, those super, super thin ones, I didn't own. And they were supposed to be really, really stinky. I'm like, wait a minute. Those aren't even very absorbent. Mm-hmm. And if you're wearing nice business shoes, why would they be so stinky? So I literally went out jogging in my business shoes around the block a couple of... And another thing I did was I took the socks and I taped them under my arms to like absorb some of that sweat. And when he finally came over and smelled my feet, he was like, well, these are sweaty, but it's not foot sweat. And I was like, oh my God, I give up.
He's a savant. That's amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that getting the inventory of, of which I own, which I don't own. Yep. I love it.
Yes.
Which I do not own, I want to be clear. Socks. Don't have those.
Hey, Matt, do you have a second?
Yes, I do, Nicole.
It's a new year. Do you have any New Year's resolution?
I'm still working on that. Possibly start fishing. Maybe I'll take it fishing.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to?
I want you to ask me now.
Okay.
That's what, in a conversation, reciprocity is something people look for.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I do, Matt. My New Year's resolution is to find smart, talented people to work with.
All right.
It's a fresh new year has begun. And if you or anyone else are setting goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them.
ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click.
Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply.
Now, it's no wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/inbox.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/inbox. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/inbox.
See, Matt, you wouldn't have gotten all that great information if you hadn't asked me what was going on with me.
I appreciate you guiding me.
Yeah. Did you learn an important lesson?
I did.
Good. Always. You are now a smart, qualified person. People would be lucky to hire.
The first thing we're going to do, Kevin, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Email roulette.
Email roulette.
Okay.
Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to compose together an email to someone you maybe would rather not send an email to. So we have to pick somebody from your past or present. Could be a former colleague. Could be, you know, what else, Nicole?
People do former colleagues, exes.
Oh my gosh. Someone who it might be weird for them just to hear from you, or there's something unresolved between you.
Old acquaintances.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This reminds me. I gave up entirely on being a performer for 4 years, from about 2000 to 2005 or something. I tried to get a regular 9-to-5 office job at a publishing agency. We did books by librarians for librarians. So very, 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 very exciting books. There was a fella who was this gay guy from the South. And when he would get angry, he would say, "Hell hath no fury like a Southern queen." And he was obsessed with the idea of rising to the top in the world of books by librarians.
No way.
It's a specific mountain to climb.
For librarians. And he hated me. Oh, you know, wow. You've probably had those kinds of jobs.
Sure.
Where the people who are in charge of you, they know that you think you're better than that position.
Yes.
You know, they know that you do not intend on staying there or rising. You know, I do remember once when the development editor said to him, "Well, Charles, Kevin, you know, used to be on TV. Like he's been a fairly successful artist." And Charles said, "Then why isn't he there now?" Which, you know, really cut to the quick.
I mean,
yeah, that was exactly my predicament in life. So, yeah, I remember he was incredibly, not even passive aggressive, but just aggressive with me. And I would make terrible. I mean, it was my job to proofread all the books. I made mistakes. Every page I was missing something. So he tried to trick me into signing a piece of paper admitting that I had made a fireable offense mistake. And
wait, how did he try to trick? Like, he slipped it in with a bunch of other papers you had to sign?
Yeah, he was very, you know, this is just, you know, something that we usually do, just getting someone's signature on, yeah. And I showed it to the development editor and he was like, "No, dude, he is totally trying to have you sign away that you're good to be fired, and so that they don't have to give you unemployment."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I refused, and then I wrote him this email, and I never sent it, but it was basically like me just like totally suggesting that he was the worst thing that a human being could be, you know. It was so funny. Like, I'm now very aware that I didn't send that email, but even then I should have known that I shouldn't have even composed that email in our office email, you know, thing as a draft. But yeah, I just remember that it was like almost Shakespearean with me telling him what a horrible, you know, that he was the worst that humanity could possibly be. And it's so funny because now I talk about, like, you know, any given Republican that way on a regular basis, you know. There is just something about wanting to tell someone that they're, you know, worse than worse. Yeah. So it is interesting. I mean, I have no idea, like, it's been so long since I've looked back at what what's going on with the world of, you know, books by librarians for librarians. But yeah, wouldn't it be outrageous if, 12 years later, I send him this email finally?
You don't still have the email anywhere, do you?
No, I don't. I remember that I used some sort of like Hindu or Buddhist curse. I guess there's probably not such a thing as a Buddhist curse, but
that's a good bet.
Some sort of voodoo curse or something, you know, that I quoted at the end of it, you know, wishing him, you know, a life in hell where he belongs or something like that. Just like not appropriate for sending to anyone ever.
Impressive restraint, though, because I feel like the 2005 edition of most of us would have sent that. You know what I mean? We all have one that we just let fly and then, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Well, you know what really got in the way of our big, is he going to fire me or is he not going to fire me? We had a meeting at 8 in the morning. It was supposed to be at like 8 in the morning on this Tuesday morning. And we sat down to have this little meeting. And I'm like, am I going to get fired? Or maybe I'll get a raise. Because that's what I was saying. Actually, if you really wanted me to do a better job, you should give me a raise.
Bold, it
was crazy. And we start having the conversation, and there's just this big, we were at the corner of Canal and Varick, right? So we were pretty far downtown. And there was a very, very audible boom sound down the street. And we were like, huh. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I think a plane might have crashed in Staten Island, which I should feel rather bad about because my brother lives on Staten Island. So I should have thought, oh, that could be bad.
Right. As opposed to just, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Right. Oh, interesting. There's been a tragedy in Staten Island. So the meeting goes on. And then like I don't remember even what we were arriving at, because soon after the secretary walked in and she was like, guys, planes have flown into the World Trade Center. You guys have got to come out and see this. And so that whole thing just shook everything up. And I think we literally forgot, like, for the next, I mean, we couldn't go to work for the next, I don't know how long, because our offices were closed. You couldn't get downtown. But yeah, that was something. And I'll never forget that Charles said, you know, like, we were out on the street watching people jump. Like, we were really seeing it, you know, right in front of our eyes. And it was absolutely bewildering. Like, I remember that I was having a hard time standing, like, because my knees were buckling so much. I was just like, I remember also there was this woman, the Spanish woman, who was like crying in my arms in the street. It was just so surreal. And we come back because we're being evacuated. The bomb squad wanted our building evacuated. And as we're all grabbing all our stuff, the development editor says to me, hey, we should go try to give blood. And Charles, the evil boss, said, I remember the last time we had a tragedy like this, when the basement flooded.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
We were like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he said he was going to go see if he could catch, they were showing Funny Girl at Film Forum. So he's like, I think I might be able to catch Barbara in Funny Girl today, you know, like as if Film Forum wasn't like, you know what, we're going to put off.
What's great about this is sometimes in an office conflict, it's like, you know what, maybe both sides are a little bit wrong. Maybe that person seemed terrible, but they're not. This is airtight proof that Charles is a villain.
Yes.
Unequivocal proof.
Yeah.
Also, was there a big demand for blood when the basement flooded? Are those comparable?
I mean, there's a part of me that wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like when something horrible happens, you try to distract yourself by going to a movie, but it just doesn't sound like that.
Right. There was something off. So yeah, I guess, you know, I could try to look up some old voodoo curses and rewrite that, you know, one day I hope there is a hell because that's where you belong sort of email.
Wait, now timeline wise, that means this big conflict happened and you were still there for like 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah, you know what? So what happened was I did end up keeping my job. I didn't get a raise, but everyone, including myself, kind of was figuring out that I really didn't belong there. And you know what finally happened was there was a place called Media Bistro. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it still exist? A woman who worked at Media Bistro, which was like a school for writers, wrote to me and she said, hey, you were in the state. This was about 2004 or five when this happened. She said, would you like to teach a sketch comedy writing class? And I had so fallen away from, I had just lost my nerve. Stage fright had ruined me and I had basically just given up on the idea of ever being a performer again. But she wrote this to me and I think having had some time away, I was like, yeah, I think I could do that. And getting up in front of a room full of people and just speaking as myself and making them laugh and making them, like, being honest with them about my journey of, you know, failure and success. Like, I was so appreciated by those kids that I think that was the beginning of me understanding, oh, I can stand in front of a room full of people and just be myself.
Right. It's interesting because I also think people don't think of comedy teaching as a performance in itself, but it very much is.
Yeah.
You are on.
All kinds of teaching really is. You know, there's an aspect of theater to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like a really good teacher keeps you emotionally invested. Yeah, yeah.
So, guys, I got to ask a question. Are we going to email Charles? Is this something we can do?
Also, we've said the name so many times, but I'm going to ask, should this be a rebleep situation on the name? All right.
Oh,
you have to rebleep the name, Kevin?
I don't even remember his last name, to be honest with you. But yeah. Yeah, and I don't know.
Ben just give you the signal for, like, don't try to remember?
Right. Yeah. yeah, no, so, I guess I could do some investigation to see if he still exists. For all I know, he might be in hell.
Yes, he could be. 12 years is a long time. A lot can happen in 12 years.
Am I writing this email?
Yeah, and the
now?
Subject line, I sort of want, can we do just a list of the names of Shakespearean villains?
Sure, there's Iago.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Claudius, I guess I'd argue. Is
sure,
pretty,
Claudius
yeah,
is
sure.
a good one. Macbeth.
Great. Do it.
What's the name?
Lady.
Oh, yeah. Lady Macbeth. and then should I just end it? And you.
Yes, of course. Perfect. Perfect.
Charles, I hope you liked Funny Girl.
Oh, God.
But as the Hindus say, I hope and pray there is a hell.
I really don't think the Hindus say this. I feel pretty
confident. No, I really don't think they do. I'm just trying to sound smart. That is where you belong forever.
Oh, a lot of exclamation points, which we've discussed a lot, usually soften an email, and here definitely don't. Oh,
yeah.
You've signed off.
I've signed off. It's that simple.
I feel pretty good about that. Matt, how do you feel about
no,
that?
No, I feel pretty good. My only thought was just, P.S., this is Kevin, like, because it's been so long. Instead of just Kevin, P.S., this is Kevin.
Right.
Just like, as if that's helpful.
Yeah, well, you know, what I should say is, I'm P.S., this is Kevin. And I am currently in talks about the possibility of having a TV show again.
Excellent. But I'll hit you up if I'm become a librarian who needs to write a book for librarians.
Right.
That's I can't believe there are competing publishers.
Yeah, I think there might have been only one other one.
Okay.
But man, they did not like each other, those two publishers.
That's a show. Great. And then we're going to set that aside.
Okay.
And we may be sending that at the end of the show. God, I hope we do. This is a good one. This is victimless. It's the meanest one we've written, but it's victimless. Hey, Ben, time for bottom of the box.
The bottom of the box.
We should ignore the ones from the Gmail team,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Although it was nice of them to send those to you.
So, Kevin, we're going to take a look at the oldest email you have in your inbox.
All right.
And so it looks like 2011 is when you got
yeah,
this particular Gmail
particular account.
Account.
Oh, It's so funny. This is Chris Castiglione, who now has his own company called 1Month, and they teach people how to code in 1 month.
Oh, very cool.
So he's a very tech-savvy guy, and he helped us out setting up Risk's infrastructure in the early days.
I love how this email starts, by the way.
He's saying, good luck. Good job with the Gmail, as in, yeah, you successfully set up a mail account. I'll have...
In 2011.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have Kevin at risk-show.com set up for you soon. All that can... And your related Risk stuff. Oh, my God.
This is a very efficiently written email. Each new idea is in bold.
Well, he has since... This does look very organized, but Chris has become much more organized since he now believes no email should consist of more than 5 sentences.
Wow.
He's a proponent of, I guess someone teaches that somewhere. Everything is a bulleted list with him now.
But does he aim for 5? Does he hit 5, no more, no less?
I think it's no more than is the idea, so that you're really boiling things down.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, one of the reasons that Twitter, I think, was so effective when it started, and maybe less so now, forcing people to say, you know, more with less. Yeah.
I was wondering, though, if it's like, if you don't have 5 things to say, don't send an email.
Every email should consist of at least 5 sentences. No.
It's not time to send it yet. I need a couple more things.
So this is just basically all about setting up, making sure our Risk site was running, but also the Story Studio. So I own 2 companies. One is Risk, the podcast and touring show. And the other is the Story Studio, where we teach storytelling, both to people, you know, just on whatever, you know, people for creative purposes, but also to like corporations and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
also,
yeah.
The price differential on the 2 domains available is astounding.
Yeah. StoryStudio.com was $8,600, which is not worth it.
Wow.
StoryStudio.org. was $9.
That's a no-brainer,
like,
right there.
Yeah, right? That's like a squatting thing, right? Like, people will squat on what they think will be popular domains,
right.
And then they can charge you whatever they want.
That's
for
like
it.
That's like an aiming too high thing, I think is what that is.
I think we're currently paying someone several $1,000 for KevinAllison.com.
Wait, I don't know. Is that allowed? I thought they weren't allowed to take something if it was your name.
Oh, really?
I thought there's like legal stuff involved in that. You can't squat on somebody's name.
But what if it's your name and you're squatting on it and there's more than one of you?
Then that's different.
Oh, right. There's maybe plenty of Kevin Allisons. Yeah.
But if this person is not a Kevin Allison, well, I don't think they should do that.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
We're going to look this up.
Free
later.
Legal advice from Nicole is also part of this podcast.
Yeah, pre-casual, maybe ill-informed legal advice. But I would say definitely worth Googling before you shell out that money.
Casual and ill-informed.
Mm-hmm. But legal-ish. Solid email. Solid. More interesting than just a regular setting up the email account email. Oh my God, Kevin, I'm so sorry. I just looked at what your inbox is.
What's that?
9,386 emails.
Oh.
That's stressing me out.
Well, I don't do a good job of the Risk email. I literally, that's JC's responsibility, my business partner. Her response, the first job I got after that, you know, job at that Books by Librarians for Librarians place.
Is that what it's called? Please tell me that's the company name. I don't even want to know. Just say yes.
Yes, that's absolutely what they're called. I became the artistic director of the People's Improv Theater, the Pit.
Yeah.
And that was a year that I lasted in that job, which was pretty impressive for, you know, like as far as the history of me lasting a job. I was in that role, like people are pitching you ideas for shows. People are asking about scheduling problems. People have problems with, I don't know, this, that, and the other theater-wise. So I was getting maybe 90 emails or so a day and really, really learned, holy camolies, how stressful that can be being in charge of an email box, an inbox. And so when I created Risk a few years later, I realized, oh my God, I need someone who is far, far, far more organized and far, far, far more like decisive and I don't know. What is it? What is left-brained the more organized and mathematical sort of thinking person?
Yes.
Someone who is the opposite of me, being kind of a creative scatterbrain. So it's her job to literally meet with me on Skype every morning at 10:30 and tell me, answer this email now. Okay, now answer this one. Okay, we're going to delete this one. And, you know.
No.
Yeah. She helps me, like, keep my damn email. Because now, you know, we're up to the point where Risk and the Story Studio are successful enough that we're right back where I was back at the pit, where we're getting that many emails a day. So it really takes very, very thorough going through them.
That sounds like a dream, by the way. I just want someone to meet with every morning and be like, okay, respond to this one now, Matt. Let's do this.
I say that she's like my dominatrix, my business dominatrix.
That is a certain amount of our text messages, Matt.
That's true. That is most of our exchanges, Nicole. Like, hey, can you respond to that email?
Sometimes it's me keeping you on your toes, and sometimes it's me tricking you into work I don't want to do.
Well, that's true also.
That was a recent one.
That was a recent chump. Yeah.
Wait, so you do it via Skype. Is she in a different place?
No, it's just that we don't have an office, you know, so she's in her bedroom and I'm in my bedroom.
In the same house.
Right.
Hey, Kevin, do you have a chat we could read?
Yeah, I have a bunch here of me and JC where she's doing basically that, poking me about things. This is her, I had said in a group chat to a bunch of other people, I had said, thanks to Brad, another person who works with us. And she writes back, you mean thanks, JC? And I wrote, not a chance in hell. And she said, you were thanking Brad because you thought he sent that text. And I wrote, clearly someone's never heard the Buddha's first sermon on the principle of non-self. And she said, clearly someone is being a sexist and attributing a woman's work to a man who didn't do it.
I love that so much. How much of that was just gentle ribbing back and forth, and how much of that was like genuine frustration on her part?
Well, she does get pissed off that I don't say please and thank you enough.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That.
Yeah.
It's also good that we got some real Buddhist information in after the sort of nod.
A lot of nod. Yeah.
after the mislead about Hinduism earlier.
Dining in.
Kevin, can we see your seamless orders?
Oh, sure. Now, let's see here. I mean, I put a lot of them in the trash, but maybe they still... And I'll tell you why I put them in the trash. Because I'm embarrassed that I order seamless, like, every day. Mm-hmm. And because it's linked to kevin@risk-show.com, JC sees every order.
Oh.
And so she immediately, like, criticizes me for not cooking enough at home. But let's see if... Let's see if I have some of them.
See, this doesn't look too often.
Oh, well, again, he's deleted a lot, though, Nicole.
Yeah, we're also seeing a lot of double orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's this idea of attempting to be vegan and consistently failing at that. So, as you can see here, I got some Tong Klung Pla.
Now, what does that mean to fail? Does that mean going, like, trying to order from a restaurant in a vegan way and then just ordering, like, meat?
Here's my question. Can we go back to this box?
Yeah.
Because we see that there's an order. It looks like you had second thoughts about Happy's Pizza.
Oh, yes. That is. Well, that's another thing I am. Not only am I a cheating vegan, I'm also someone who doesn't drink alcohol.
Okay, but no, but you are incredibly a cheating vegan because this is an all-meat pizza.
Exactly, because me, someone who doesn't drink alcohol, had some alcohol this night. You can see that this order was made at 12:46 at night for a medium all-meat pizza.
So this is like abandoning veganism after a few drinks?
Yes.
Is that what we're seeing here?
Wait, and then the order was canceled.
And then the order was canceled.
Guilt.
This is me in, I think, was it Phoenix? So I'm on the road a lot now. Like, one of the things that haunts me is that, you know, I was never a stand-up comedian, so I knew a lot of people who got very used in their 20s to, like, touring around, and I never did that. Then I started Risk, and now all of a sudden in my mid-40s, late 40s, I'm a kind of guy who has to tour around all the time. And it's harder to do when you get older. So, yeah, this is me. Like, sometimes I'll be in a place like Madison, Wisconsin, at a little Radisson or something like that, and being like, my God, isn't there anything to eat for miles? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So I'll order a all-meat pizza at 12:46 and then cancel it. When did I cancel it? Like at about, you know, an hour later, like 2 a.m. or something like that.
Oh, like it didn't show up, so you canceled it?
Yeah, it was just taking too long.
I love the image of an all-meat pizza because it could either imply that all the meats are on it or that it's just the whole pizza is just like a disc of meat.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Spam, scams, and creeps.
Let's check out your spam folder.
Oh, should we check out for risk or for my personal?
Personal.
Okay, let's see. Spam.
Ooh, there's a lot.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's so crazy.
203. Well,
Swing Left is an organization that I would highly recommend people check out. They like get people activated about trying to turn swing states, you know, to the left. So they'll be an important organization to look into, especially this next year with, you know, the midterms coming up. Then there's all of these, like, women, I want to send you new naked pics from, you know, Sophie or Noor. And, you know, it's like
some nice flashing emoji hearts.
A lot of emojis in these. I'm not getting spam with emojis.
No, I'm not either. I'm a little jealous, actually.
Interesting. I wonder what that's all about. Here's something from Doug Jones about the election the other night.
It's weird that he's using the flashing emojis, too.
Mm-hmm.
With the little Santa Claus hearts. Oh, my gosh. Union Theological Seminary. It's interesting. So I am just the craziest mix of spiritual self-helpy kind of stuff and porn and and left-wing politics.
Wow, yeah, it is. It's a lot of Doug Jones,
mm-hmm.
a lot of women with emojis looking for your attention. Oh, Sarah is waiting to fuck fire.
Oh, well, hell. Here's Bed-Stuy YMCA more or less letting me know, you never come to the gym. Oh, here's Dr. Furman, who's, you know, the vegan guy who teaches you to eat nothing but lettuce.
No, well, maybe those weren't going to spam.
Yeah.
Your spam is kind of like a series of reminders, sort of. Like,
yeah.
Some are nefarious or some are a little kinky. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's a pretty great spam folder.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, I do a heck of a lot of stuff around porn, so I guess that's how some of these are getting to me. But you would think that they could distinguish the fact that I'm never looking at women in the porn.
Lot of women. And it's disproportionately women in your porn.
And the other headline is the emojis. That the real star of the spam folder is the flashing emojis.
This is, yeah, this is like Times Square, my spam folder.
Yeah. and then a give the gift of healthy indulgence.
Yeah. Well, here's the fun. Hi, she wants your cock.
And I also love, it's so bananas that, do they try to bleep out the word cock so that they think it'll get through? Or
maybe.
Or is it like some strange modesty on the part of spam?
I don't know. All of these really are like, hey, buddy, come on in here. Check out what's in this one.
It's totally crazy. Amazon telling me, your order might have arrived.
Oh, that can't be.
Your order might arrive. That's got to be a real spam.
That's got to be spam.
That's a spam.
Yeah. What's this? Inflammation, free radical damage. Oh, okay. So they assume I might want like plastic surgery.
Wait, what does free radical damage mean?
I think that's not
well structured
like
email.
Of molecules that might be getting.
What about this one? Is that someone?
Hi, is this Kevin Allison?
That's like an interesting one.
Well, because it's all one word.
Yeah. No, that's spam. That's spam.
It's a nice try, though. It's a nice try. I almost got you to reply to that one.
It's funny the ones that are saying that are referring to a woman as like not being the one who says she's
like
waiting to find, as
third
if they're
person.
Writing for a friend.
Yes.
Hi, I'm writing for my friend who happened to have found your email address and she's waiting to fuck you, whoever you might be.
Yeah. She's like, she's waiting to fuck you. What are you waiting on, man? Bro, let's go. Let's go.
We've got another Are You Kevin Allison email, except this one is Are You Kevin Allison? Question mark, question
we
mark.
We need to talk.
These are all just trying to start a dialogue. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And one from Bernie Sanders.
Are you Kevin Allison?
She wants to fuck you. Thanks, Bernie.
Oh, man.
Search. Alert.
All right.
Do you have a search term?
What's that mean?
So we are going to give you a search term, and then we'll see what comes up in your email.
Cool.
Do you have a good one, Matt?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Kevin, do you have anything you think might...
Well, I used to literally have a Google alert for butts.
Why?
Just because I love butts.
But it's so open-ended.
Yeah, no. I thought it might be funny if I was constantly getting alerts about butts and that I would probably get great news items that I could share with people on... Oh, what just happened? For some reason, it worked better when it was butts and not butt.
I just want to say, I think that's a great idea. A Google alert for butts is brilliant.
Yeah. Let's see what it, here it is. So here's the last time I got a Google alert about butts.
It was January last year. So it seems like your New Year's resolution was unsubscribing from Google alerts about butts.
Yeah. I had decided, okay, I've had enough of butts. I mean, not in real life, but in as far as Google alerts go. But this is the articles they sent me were how Buffett and Greenblatt both moved on from cigar butt investing, whatever that means. Panthers OC denies calling plays with a tight butt. Kevin Hart's snowball kicks bunny butt in the new Secret Life of Pets trailer.
Were you kind of hoping for like, hey, check out this butt? Yeah, that's kind of more what you're hoping for.
Well, I was hoping more for, you know, someone got something stuck in their butt or, you know, funny stuff.
Right. Goofy butt news.
Goofy butt news.
Exactly. Oh, here's something from the Yukon Butt Blaster. What on earth? Oh, okay. That's some sort of weightlifting thing.
It's a great, great product name, the Yukon Butt Blaster.
Indeed.
How often do you think you got the butt news you were looking for?
Oh, daily.
Really?
How often did I get something that really...
Yeah, they may say, that's why I signed up for that.
Maybe once a week I would find something that was funny and then I could post it on Facebook and Twitter and people would be like, wow, you really are keeping up with butt news. Oh, you know what I wanted to share? I wanted to share this email. We get a lot of emails from... Oh, I sent it to myself from fans about their experience with Risk. And this one was outrageous.
Oh, great.
This is long and it looks like it's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
Is this like a play?
Yeah, it is. So this fan just wanted to share with us something that happened to her because what happens is people listen to Risk and because the stories are so raw and real, sometimes it has, like we do on a daily basis, hear from people saying, oh my gosh, I was feeling suicidal and this podcast really like kind of like made me feel okay again. And oh, I can't believe, I felt like such a freak because I thought I was weird in this way, but then I heard someone really pouring their heart out on your show about this or that. So this woman wrote to us and here's this epic email she sent. She says, it was Folsom Street Fair, a kink and leather festival in San Francisco. I went wearing a sign that said, pee on me. A very cute woman saw my sign and shouted, hey, do you want me to pee on you? Yeah. Okay, where do you want to do it? We decided on a doorway entrance off to the side because this is right in the middle of San Francisco.
As you do. Yeah. And, you know,
she puts her stuff down into a pee-proof plastic bag. First, turn your sign around. Where do you want it? I don't know. I've never done this thing before. Okay, kneel down like you're going to pee, and then I'll go on your crotch. I kneel as I watch her take off her shorts, then underwear, revealing a thin strip of pubes and a cute clit ring with a little ball on it. My name's S, by the way. Just S? Yeah, what's yours? A. Oh, nice. A guy walks up and asks if he can film us. I look up for the first time and finally realize that we're surrounded by 15 different people, most with their phones out. It's up to you, she says to me. I don't know. She nods and says, hey, guys, maybe not. It's her first time. That's nice. She's being taken care of. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. I'm going to pee in 3, 2, 1. The stream starts and it feels so warm. It feels so different from peeing in my own panties. Well, sure, yeah. It gets on my thigh and then pools mostly in my crotch. I remember looking at my belly. I'm breathing so hard, I can hardly stand it. My eyes closed as, and not 20 seconds later, she's shaking the last few drops out. Okay, there you go. Give me a second to put my pants back on, and then I'll help you up. Are you okay? Yes, I'm perfect. Thanks so much. I managed to get out. I'm in a daze. She grabs my hand, and I finally look her in the eye. They're so sweet. Nice to meet you. Yeah, you too. Enjoy the rest of your festival. Thanks, you too. And with that, I walk back to my friends who were watching the entire time. I had someone else's pee running down my legs and on my hands. It was one of the best feelings I've experienced. I wanted to write this to you because, again, your show means the world to me and my sexuality. It also helped me take that risk I did today. And I learned that I am a freak. But so are you, and so is everyone at Folsom, and so are many other people on top of that. I also learned I am worth being loved and worth being sexually satisfied. Thank you for reading this, and thanks for doing what you do.
Very nice.
That's a heck of an email.
Wow.
Very thorough.
That email had a lot, because I thought it was going to go to like a scary place for a second with all the people filming. What if they didn't leave? And then it just turned into like a nice little transaction.
Yeah.
Everyone's very respectful.
Yeah. It makes a big difference when you're with someone who can like pay attention moment by moment to whether or not things are still okay.
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that the person asked.
Yeah.
Very nice.
There was a thing early on with like, it's my first time, but someone had a pee-proof bag handy. Like, that was kind of a funny moment.
Well, I also
like,
think it was probably just a plastic bag. I don't know that it was designed to be
pee-proof. Hang on, let me get out my pee-proof bag.
Yeah. Well, you know, in San Francisco, they might specifically sell pee-proof bags.
Yeah.
That's a great email.
I also love the name exchange and when it happened.
Yeah.
Very lovely. How many thorough emails like this do you get?
We get a lot, and we post them. We always ask, like we did post this when we said, hey, can we put this on our Facebook, you know, as if we remove your name, if we don't share what your name is, but say, hey, here's another mm-hmm. wonderful message we got from a fan. And they're usually not, you know, as epically, you know, this is a little story.
Yes, you feel it. Reading it, I was like, I feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
I was like, this is very nice.
She's kind of imitating what she hears on Risk, really. Mm-hmm. But no, usually they're people who are just very heartfelt saying, holy cow. You know, like for example, we once got an email from someone who said, my stepson, he was like, our relationship was non-existent for like 4 years. I could not like bond with him in any way. He like barely talked to me. And I could tell he was really getting into serious with drugs. Mm. And then I heard this episode of Risk called Under the Influence. It's a bunch of drug stories. And the last one was really, really tragic. You know, a couple of the stories were kind of fun, but the last one was really tragic. And so he said, I played it. I was working on the car in the garage, and I asked my stepson if he could help me just work with something. But I deliberately played that episode. And first of all, he was like, wow, Dan is listening to some like outrageous stuff here. And then he was so moved by that story that it finally opened up a conversation between the two of them about drugs. And he said that their relationship started healing again, and his stepson started being a lot more, you know, like weaning himself off of stuff. So that was amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah.
We got an email from a woman who was in college, and she had just been date raped. And she was like, because I've listened to Risk, I already know I'm not alone. I already know the next steps that I can take and how to reach out for help, et cetera, et cetera. So she's like, you know, yeah, that's just outrageous to hear. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So it's very, very, like, that makes doing the show so much. That means more than any of the money that we make off doing the show could even mean, you know? Like, that's the spiritual thing that keeps the show going.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's such a wild thing with podcasts because first your audience is so invisible. And I'm sure it's also like that with television. But your audience is so invisible and yet the experience that they're having with the show is so intimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so personal
to
them.
You're right there in their ears.
Yes.
And another thing, like the converse is also true where, you know, every week we're offending someone. Every week, right. You know, especially because the show is so raw. Every week someone says something that someone finds politically incorrect or, you know, they feel triggered by or whatever. And so they'll be yelling at us either. You know, I've had people write to me, you know, shame on you for doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, you just kind of get used to that, too, that people that if people were eye to eye with you, they might be speaking differently than, you know, some of the negative stuff that people do say when they're just behind a keyboard.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for whatever to come home to whatever. But I don't remember how I used to describe this.
Things to come home to roost.
Things to come home to roost. Oh, Ben, you don't look disappointed. It's better if it's natural. It's time for Email Roulette Part 2.
Oh, shit.
So here's what's going to happen. We have a trivia question.
Uh-huh.
Matt and I do not know the answers. Ben has prepared this trivia question himself. You're going to get 3 chances.
Okay.
That's the good news.
But if you get it wrong, which you probably will, you're sending that email.
Oh, my God.
Yes, let's reread
it. Oh, yeah. Where is it? It's in drafts.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the headline is, the subject line is Iago. Claudius, Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, and you. And the email says, Charles, I hope you liked Funny Girl. But as the Hindus say, I hope and pray there is a hell, because that is where you belong forever! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. P.S. This is Kevin. And I am currently in talks about possibly having a TV show.
I also love how much you hedge there. You're absolutely certain, though incorrect, about what Hindus say. And yet you're really protecting yourself on the TV show thing in case.
Yeah, right. Very possibly.
Amazing. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I just want our listeners to know, so that we are not having the experiences that Kevin has after every episode, Matt and I know that's not what Hindus say.
Yes, exactly.
We know. All right, Matt, do you want to read this question?
All right, here we go.
The first line of the Bhagavad Gita.
not Dear Charles.
Dear Charles. All right, the trivia question is, what was the title of the first YouTube video uploaded on April 23rd, 2005? Is it A, Slipping on Ice Compilation, B, Me at the Zoo, C, Awesome Snowboarding, or D, Zorb, in all capital letters with an exclamation point.
Also, compilation is spelled wrong.
Compilation is spelled wrong.
I'm sure deliberately.
Yes, he sometimes spells things wrong just for us, we think. Like, he spells things wrong sometimes, and it's on purpose. He's done
Guys,
that before.
Guys, I'm pretty sure I know this one.
Because really?
I think the reason I remember this is because one of the guys who started YouTube is kind of cute.
Okay.
I think, if I'm remembering correctly. So I'm pretty sure it's Me at the Zoo.
Oh wow.
Ooh.
Good for Charles.
Both the Hindus and Charles have been spared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's quick, though, see if I'm right. If one of the guys is kind of cute.
No, we know he's right about the answer. He's trying to figure out if he's right about the cute thing.
Right. I might have changed
Ben was saying he's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's totally cute.
But he's so young.
This has 43 million views. I guess it should if it's the first video. 43
million? 43
million, 900,000.
He's so young.
So, and he's one of the two owners, of creators and owners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trip.
I wanted to watch Slipping on Ice compilation is what I was hoping to watch.
Yeah, me too. Ben, are those all real videos that exist?
No.
Wow.
I'm
not sure they
are. I just, I'm definitely searching for that later.
Yeah.
Zorb is probably a pretty good one, too.
Yeah. Kind of a neat intergalactic thing.
Ben, we're not mad at you. Just because he got it right, we're not mad at you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was very, like, that was just knowledge. Kevin just dropped knowledge.
Kevin just came in with knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As the Hindus say.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys. This is a blast.
It was very fun.
Kevin, where can people go if they want to hear more of you?
Well, on any podcast app, you can just look up RISK exclamation point. But you can also find us risk-show.com. And then on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're at Risk Show. And then on Twitter, I personally am at the Kevin Allison.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You didn't have to pay $8,600 for that Twitter handle.